is Luke 20, 27 to 38. Some Sadducees, those who say there is no resurrection, came to him and asked him a question. Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife with no children, the man should marry a widow and raise children up for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married a woman and died childless. Then the second, third married her, and so on. All seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. In resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven have married her. And Jesus said unto them, those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy of a place in this age and in resurrection from the dead, neither marry or are given in marriage. Indeed, they could not die anymore because they are like angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. And the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush where he speaks to the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is God, not of the dead, but of the living. And for to him, all of them are alive. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God.
Anybody seen the movie Office Space? Okay, all right, yep. Got a couple. What's that? Yeah, I went deep for this one. That's right. If you don't know, don't worry, but this is not a recommendation from the pulpit. It's not a deep movie. It has its vulgarities. So I'm just going to say, this is not me saying, go out and watch this movie. But it captures something about the spirit of a feeling, a zeitgeist for Gen X, my generation. This idea, most of it takes place in an office. What do they do in the office? I couldn't tell you. I've seen the movie several times. I couldn't tell you what they do. Some of it takes place in what essentially is like a knockoff of a TGI Fridays. But one of the, I would say the primary through line of this movie is there are all these managers trying to get their folks to care about what they're doing, to invest what they're doing, these workers are doing, with some sort of meaning, some sort of value. There's this big ongoing sort of joke about, how many pieces of flair are you wearing on your vest as you serve at TGI Fridays? And are you just doing the bare minimum? Do you have that much flair because that's that's what corporate says you have to have? Are you getting into the spirit of the flair and actually, having fun with it? Because, there's some sort of, corporate mandate to have fun. Are you putting the covers on your TPS reports? Because that's really the most important thing. And you never learn what a TPS report is, but it's a pretty important thing. Staplers have a particular value in this movie, because when you own nothing, you hang on to whatever you have, right? You don't need to watch the movie to understand that it's full of a lot of folks trying to break free and find something of meaning, of worth, of value in how they're spending their time in a world where everybody's trying to say, no, you just have to find meaning in the system. When I read this scripture that Gloria just read for us, I hear these Sadducees, and if you're not familiar with the Sadducees, these are folks that worked closely with they were religious leaders. That's really all you need to know. They were religious leaders, a particular sect that didn't believe in resurrection. And they are asking Jesus a question. I have questions about their questions. Anybody else have questions about their question? What questions do you have? Why would they ask that question? What do you think? Do you have any ideas? Maybe they don't really have faith in God. They certainly don't believe in a resurrection. So they're trying to ask a ridiculous question, right? Let's take this sort of assumption that you're making, Jesus, about a resurrection. let's make it sound as ridiculous as possible, right? But and then see what kind of answer you can give. Yeah, what other questions do you have about their question? Anything? Do they even want to know the answer? Right, right. And I think based on this, my assumption is they don't want Jesus to have an answer, right? That's the whole point of a gotcha question. Yeah. Do they even want to know the answer? Anything else? Even if they get the answer, they're going to find fault with it. Yeah, that's fair. Anybody have a question about this practice that they bring up? Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about this practice. Levamer marriage, I believe is what it's called, from the Hebrew word levermite, I think levermite, from the Hebrew levir, which means brother-in-law. What do y'all think about this practice that if you marry somebody, ladies, if you marry somebody and that person dies before you have kids, then that person's brother will marry you. What if you don't want to marry him? Yeah. I mean, frankly, nobody's asking if you want to marry him. That's the law. Okay, so for in this society, it's probably a good thing because, from the woman's point of view, because she was looking to have a child who can take care of her in her old age. That's exactly the point of this. This is based on an assumption. Now, we always have to be careful, and I think Ray has actually said this to me several times. We always have to be careful when we read a scripture that was a story that was written 2,000 years ago, or being told about a story that was told 2,000 years ago, probably written down like 1,900 years ago, from our modern perspective, right? So we always want to be careful about placing our modern assumptions onto an ancient culture, but reading a scripture from 2,000 years later does give us the ability to step out of the assumptions and expectations that the cultural assumptions that they were making at that time, and sort of look at that overarching view and ask some questions about those assumptions. So there's an assumption, right, in this patriarchal society in which they live. A woman leaves her family when she gets married. She leaves her father. Up until that point, she is the daughter of so-and-so. She leaves her father in order to become the wife of such-and-such. And then if he dies before she has a son, so she's no longer the wife of such-and-such and not the mother of so-and-so, who is she? Except the widow doesn't really have, the widow is just a liminal identity. She doesn't have an identity in this culture. She certainly has no economic ability. She doesn't have any ability to earn anything, and even if she could earn anything, she can't own it, right? So this really is when this was instituted, this idea, first of all, you have to recognize marriage was not a romantic situation to begin with. So this woman, not only was she not asked if she wants to marry her dead husband's brother, she probably wasn't asked if she wanted to marry her husband to begin with, right? This was probably an arrangement made between her father and her husband, or maybe even her father and her husband's father. And so romance had nothing to do with it. This was an economic agreement. And so this was considered a justice matter when Moses said, now listen, if this woman leaves her family and becomes part of your family, and her husband dies without having kids, the next oldest male in the family has to take responsibility for giving her identity, some economic stability until she can have kids who will take care of her when she gets old. Because there were no 401ks. Your retirement plan was your kids. They're the ones who are going to take care of you when you get too old to work. I'm not banking on that retirement policy myself, but be great. That'd be great. So this whole idea, this whole question is based on this idea of, hey, Moses gave us this great way of compensating for this, you know, nobody is saying this flawed system, but is it okay if I call this a slightly flawed system, ladies? Yeah, is it okay if I recognize, if I just name the fact that, and gentlemen, may I call this a flawed system? If I just name the fact that these women have no identity without a man in their lives? That they have no ability to take care of themselves? And that they get traded from brother to brother to brother to brother until they finally die with no name, no identity, because they never had kids? Is that's fair? Okay, thanks. I'm just going to name that. I'm just going to put that out there. But nobody in the Sadducees aren't named. That's not their question. Their question isn't, why is our society this way? It just assumes that it is and says, and Moses came up with a pretty good fix for it, right? Like, hey, this is fair. So, whose wife is she? What's her identity in the kingdom of God? She gets resurrected, like you say. What's her identity? Is she the wife of this guy, or the wife of this guy, or the wife of this guy? Okay, all right, yes. Let's get there in just a second. Now, I don't know if you were here when the bishop preached here a couple of months ago. Some of you were, some of you were not. That's all right. I was reminded this past week when Aaliyah and I and Shannon were at a training event this past week around leadership development. And one of the things that came up was the idea of adaptive leadership, which is, our bishop is a big fan of adaptive leadership. Anybody familiar with this concept, this term, adaptive leadership? Adaptive leadership is sort of in contrast to like sort of technical leadership or technocrat, that sort of idea. Let me just put it this way. Let's say we have a problem. If the problem is something that you can name and you can fix, it's a technical issue. We have a leak in the roof, right? What do we do about it? Fix the leak in the roof. What do we do to fix the leak in the roof? Get a roofer. Either somebody in the church, if they know what they're doing, or we hire somebody. Okay, we can name the problem. We can fix the problem. It's a technical problem, right? Let's say our attendance is going down, and we don't know why, right? Pastor Brian didn't preach a particularly offensive sermon, or maybe he did, but we don't know, because only people left in here are the people who weren't offended by it. I don't know. We don't know why. We don't know why attendance is going down, but it is steadily. It's not. But let's just say it is, right? But it's going down steadily. We don't know why. Now, often when a church faces something like that, we want to apply technical solutions to it, right? Well, we need to market better. We need to offer different programs. We need to apply things that have worked for us in the past, apply a technical fix to this problem. But the problem is, often those things don't work because it may not be a technical problem. It may be what we call an adaptive problem, which begins by acknowledging we don't know what the problem is. And it may go even deeper. We may need to acknowledge that there's something fundamentally different between what we do here and what the people in our community around us are looking for, right? If you're a shoe company and you've been doing really well and all of a sudden nobody's buying your shoes, you can try marketing better or you can try making different shoes. But if it turns out that like this barefoot running craze is picking up and everybody's running barefoot, there is no shoe you can get that's going to fix your problem. Is that fair to say? It's not a technical problem with your shoes. It's an adaptive issue. You're a shoe company in a world that no longer wants shoes. You see the difference? And so you have to ask yourself some fundamental questions about what you do if you want to stay in business, or maybe you don't. Maybe you decide that you're going to be a Band-Aid company. Huh? Huh? All right. So Jesus says, you are looking, this is a gotcha question, because the Sadducees are trying to put Jesus in the place of trying to of having to apply a technical fix to this systemic issue, right? Like, what does Jesus say? Well, good question. Technically, she's the wife of all seven of these men. And so in the kingdom of God, she is multiple people, or she's, no matter what he says, there is no technical answer that will satisfy them. And that's their point. That's why they ask this question. They don't want to see if Jesus knows the answer. They want to show that there is no technical answer for the question that they're asking, and therefore they can disprove resurrection, which is, you know, that proves that they're right in their beliefs, or they just sort of disprove that Jesus can answer anything in a way that makes everybody happy. They can discredit him a little bit here. But Jesus says, maybe there's something wrong with the fundamental assumptions of your question. Because marriage is fine in this world, where it functions as basically an economic exchange. Sure, let her marry whoever she needs to marry in order to get her daily bread, what she needs to make her way in this world. But in the kingdom of God, she will have what she needs. She doesn't need to be married to anybody to have what she needs. She will be given her daily bread. It's a moot point. Sure, let her be the wife of so-and-so or so-and-so and so-and-so in this world, but in the kingdom of God, she will be truly known. She won't need to be somebody else's somebody else. Or, as he mentions here, he says, there won't be any death anymore, so we won't have to worry about who's going to take care of her when she's dying. Right? She can be free. The fundamental question that you're asking, you're talking about something. Moses put a technical fix on a fundamentally flawed system, and you're asking me how God's going to play it out in the kingdom of God. And I'm telling you, in the kingdom of God, it won't be fundamentally flawed. Friends, have you found yourselves asking in the last couple of weeks, as we've wrestled with what to do with as the government's cut SNAP program, and we know that there's all sorts of hungry folks, and we don't know for how long, as the government debates back and forth, are they going to fund it? Are they not going to fund it? How long is it going to take them to fund it? And then we remember that people were hungry even before they cut SNAP. Even before then, we were seeing rising requests for folks who couldn't pay their rent or couldn't get their heat turned on, whether you call this a snow or a flurry this morning. It's cold, right? And we know that there were already people struggling to get their heat turned on or to keep it on. And as we think of all these technical fixes, what are we going to do to get food into people's cupboards? How are we going to fix this technical issue? Did it ever occur to you that maybe the fundamental issue is that we live in a world that assumes that people have to figure out some way to get the basic needs met? That assumes that if you don't, that you either have to earn it or you have to go begging for it? That there's some fundamental flaw with that system? I mean, I've been taught that that's how the way the world works, and so I've been trying to come up with solutions that fit that parameter. But the fact of the matter is, in the kingdom of God, nobody's going to have to ask me whether or not I can help them get their heat turned on. In the kingdom of God, nobody's going to have to ask me whether or not, or justify to me why they have to come and ask for some assistance to feed their kids. Because in the kingdom of God, their kids will have enough to eat. Not because they earned it or they deserve it, but because they're kids and all kids are our kids. Right? We pray every week, we pray, give us this day our daily bread. Who's our? Who's us? Is it just those of us who gather here to pray that prayer together? No. Is it just those people who gather in churches around the world to pray that prayer? It's everyone. Who's made in the image of God? Who? We all are. What about those folks out there who don't believe they're made in the image of God? Yeah, I don't care if they believe it. I believe it. And so I don't act based on their beliefs. I act based on my beliefs. And if I believe that they are made in the image of God, then it is my job to live into a world, not where we figure out how to fix SNAP, but where we just assume that people get the food that they need to give them their daily bread. Does that make sense to you? It doesn't. All of us were handed a way, an assumption, an expectation about the way the world works, and that's okay. We can't change what we were given. And it makes sense that up until now, most of us, maybe not all of us, but most of us have figured out how to make it work. But it doesn't work for everybody. And if it doesn't work for everybody, then it's not the kingdom of God. And so it doesn't matter how many technical fixes we try to slap on this fundamentally flawed system. And it's not that, like, I'm saying, and that's why we should be socialist. No, it's not socialist versus capitalist. It's the kingdom of earth versus the kingdom of God, right? So we can't change the assumptions that we were handed. But what we need to do, if we are going to take seriously the idea of living into the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, then we need to take it seriously and start making those assumptions. And what does that look like? What do? I don't know. Adaptive challenge, adaptive leadership begins by saying, I don't know. I don't have that answer. But that's why we're in a season of listening here at Broadway. Listening to God in all the ways that God might speak to us. Maybe even some ways we haven't even thought of yet. But I believe that if we knock, the door will be open to us. That if we seek, we will find. That if we truly believe that God will show us a different way of living in the world, that God will show us a different way of living in the world. Not because we want it, but because it's God's way of being in the world. And if we truly believe, God will show it to us, and then we need to be brave enough to step into it. Am I alone on that? Am I making that up? Is this too radical? I mean, it's just as radical as Jesus, I think. I pray that I live long enough to see some of that change. I pray that we're able to get there together. Because I think that's the only way that any of us will ever get there. Amen.